The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for exposing the masters within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, November 6th, 2011. For those of you listening live, and obviously it's whatever time you're listening to it, if you're listening to the recording, welcome aboard. Today we are going to be looking at two terms that are very, for me, interrelated and very instrumental in, well, this process of learning to expose ourselves, of learning to go within and let ourselves out. And these two terms are protection and perfection. But before we jump into the topic, or topics, I guess, let's make contact. And so to start, as the new pattern goes, it's time to turn within and just focus down into connecting with your own divinity, with your own power, with your own light. You might do that through the doorway of the heart. That's a wonderful access, a wonderful gateway to open into that. And just let yourself breathe your own divinity up and feel that support coming from the true core of who you are, your own divine essence, your own soul, your own oversoul, your own higher self. Just breathe into that and breathe that up into you, into the experience of this moment. And as you do that, just let anything that might be up, troubling you, an issue right now, just let that fall away for a time as we go on today's journey into self-exposure. And let's reach out, open out into more of the support available to us. And at this point, connect down and let yourself feel the earth beneath you. Open into sharing your gratitude with her for always being there for you, for allowing you this opportunity to be in body, to have these experiences. And allow yourself to feel her support, her love, coming up into you, surrounding you, the ongoing presence in your life, always there. And just open to receiving that support as fully as you're able at this moment. And let's expand out yet again and open into the connection with all of our guides, our angels, the masters and teachers who are with us, aiding us in this path, on this path, in this lifetime. And again, let yourself feel that gratitude to them for the support that they carry with them to you in each moment. And as you let that gratitude out, allow yourself to receive their love. For that support is wisdom, but it's at its core love, pure acceptance, their recognition of you as this divine light that you are. And let's expand out in yet another way. Opening to this community, those who are here choosing to expose their own divinity, their own power, and share that in the world. All the others who are listening here live or who might be listening to the recording, regardless of when you're listening, you're helping to create everything that gets shared here today, all of these experiences, as are all the others out in this community. So connect with that support that comes from the like-minded and like-hearted individuals who are joining us to co-create this today. Knowing we're moving together and moving in the same direction can feed us when we need more. When we need more to help us over and through the humps, the lumps, the bumps that we all take as we walk on this path. And once more, open up and expand to feel the connection with all the others who are light workers on this planet at this time, all the others who have consciously stepped up into this path of self-discovery, this path of self-empowerment, this path of seeking to bring divinity into the physical dimension and express it directly. Because all who are doing that are walking the path around us, and we can again gain energy, gain support, gain power by opening up to feel that wave of energy that we're creating together, to ride that wave rather than having to do it all alone. Yes, in each moment we are physically doing this as individuals. But in each moment we have these levels of community. Our own divinity, the Mother Earth, our guides and angels, the others who join us here to create this path, and all the other light workers. In each and every moment those other energies are available to us to move forward. And I say welcome and thank you to those energies. Welcome and thank you to those beings, to those other aspects of the divine all who are moving in a similar direction to me. And so, let's get to the topics. Protection and perfection. And to me, they're very much two sides of the same coin, which is part of what we'll be exploring here today. And, well, I must say this. I am really happy that I have a DVR. And one of the things that I was DVRing over the last month or so, as we headed toward Halloween, which was just this last Monday, was a few, well, we'll call them horror films. Used to be in my undergraduate days that I watched a lot of those and never had a reason why, just felt drawn to them. Didn't care so much for the blood and gore, but the ones that would get you on the edge of your seat, or get me on the edge of my seat. And part of it was that they were often about this connection to things that were beyond the physical, that couldn't be explained just physically. And so I know that that was one of the pieces that was helping me to open to other dimensions and realities and ghosts and things like that, that got me where I am right now eventually. Another piece of it, though, was actually being able to go into some of the emotions that were based in or in a similar place, in a similar realm to fear, and connect with them and explore them and experience them in a way that was safe. Because in the theater, unless you're in a theater as a character in a movie, in a horror film, in the theater or sitting on the couch watching it through the television, you were safe. And yet, these experiences, these feelings, the fear was coming up. It was being triggered. It was being brought to the surface. And I really believe, part of this is my theater background, but I really believe in an idea that the Greeks had about theater. And that's the idea of catharsis, that as we are participating as the audience, and we are participating, we are creating that world with the people up on the stage or up on the screen, because we're bringing our reality, our experiences into how we're receiving what is on the stage or on the screen. And so it is definitely an interactive experience. And the Greek idea of catharsis is that as the audience, what we are there to do for ourselves, in terms of with a live theater performance, we're actually giving energy to the performers as they're giving the opportunity for catharsis to us. But as we are there, as an audience member, we're actually there to be transformed. And so, in some ways, there's no such thing, if it's well done, as a performance on stage or screen that is purely to be watched. We are there to be transformed as the audience. And so, the most successful, and I'm not talking about box office, although often that's also there, the most successful theatrical experiences are those that are universal enough to reach the largest audience and to affect the largest shift within the largest numbers of that audience. Now, why am I talking about this? Well, this idea was percolating for the past couple days, so it's been around longer than most of my topics for shows. And it came out of sitting down to watch one of those movies that I had taped. And it wasn't the movie itself. It was that genre of film. It was the horror film. And what that allows us to work with energetically. And what it preys upon, what it connects with, is the core need to protect ourselves, to take care of ourselves. And in most of those horror films, it is about protecting the physical body. You do the wrong thing, you die. Which, that urge for self-protection of the physical is very much with us all, as far as I'm concerned. And it's built into the cells of the body. It's not that it never happens, but that idea of self-sacrifice, where you sacrifice your own physical body to save others, in one way of experiencing and a very core way of experiencing, is an unnatural act. That doesn't mean it's not noble, etc. I'm not getting into that kind of thing. But it is an unnatural act in that we are programmed cellularly to try to survive. To try to live, to try to keep moving forward. And so that need to protect ourselves is literally in the cells of our body. And in a common way of thinking about it or talking about it, the phrase fight or flight got coined, because we literally have – they're not separate nervous systems, but they function essentially in many ways in separate ways. We have our nervous system that kind of runs us when everything's okay and there's nothing to worry about, etc. And then we have, when the emergency hits, we have the adrenaline that gets pumped out and the other other glands kick out things that get us into fight or flight, get us into, all right, heightened alert, red alert now. We've got to take care of ourselves. We've got to really pay attention and make quick decisions and take action if we're to save ourselves. And that's at the very core of physical experience. And even though we don't necessarily live in a world that is, obviously, if you're in a war zone, et cetera, this is different. But for most of us on planet Earth right now, we don't live in a war zone where the threat of physical death from an outside agency is a very immediate threat, where someone is likely to come and kill us, or where the big cat is going to leap out of the tree and slash our throat to eat us. Those things are not, they're not what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And so, although that programming is in there, in many ways it's gotten enmeshed with emotional needs at this point. For many of us, our emotional lives, even when we're trying to suppress our emotions, as most of us do to a degree, some degree or another, we get entangled and it becomes a matter of life and death. And now this, again, ridiculous degree to the performances, but let's talk daytime soap operas, where everything is this major emergency. And yes, it is physical life and death a lot of the time, but everything is heightened. Everything has this greater importance. And for many of us, that becomes the realm of our relationships. And things get blown out of proportion. And this is especially true when we find one of those relationships that is about a personal partnership and that is deep love. We'll call it passion. I mean, there's multiple ways to look at it or think of it. But what happens when we are in the process of falling in love? Again, as with everything on the show, my opinion, my experience, etc., and what has been shared in channeling through the years. But what happens as we're experiencing falling in love is we are actually, we found someone for a variety of reasons, but at the core, energetic reasons, who we are really drawn to, who is really drawn to us. And the energy of love at its core, one of the core components of what love is it is acceptance. And in that acceptance, coming from another person, this heightened level of acceptance, to such a degree that they always want to be with you and they think you're the most wonderful person they've ever experienced and vice versa. That energy allows us to set aside some of these energies, these needs for protection. We allow the person in farther. We share with them more deeply than we do in most of our other relationships. And if this is truly that kind of deep connection, then in all of our other relationships, we share things, we find ourselves sharing things that we've never told anybody else, except perhaps the last one that we had this kind of experience with. And it's a process whereby we let those walls down. And the more we let the walls down, the more we feel this affirmation of ourselves, the more we feel this approval, the more we feel that energy of love, and the better we feel about ourselves. Until at some point, and perhaps there are relationships where this doesn't happen. I don't know of any. Until at some point, one or the other of the people in that relationship has an expectation. They may have been consciously aware of it. They may not have been. Doesn't matter. They have an expectation of the other person, of their love, that doesn't get met. And what happens is that is a betrayal. Now, it's not betrayal in the sense necessarily of anything conscious on the other person's part. They're going behind your back. They're trying to manipulate. They're doing all these things. No, I'm not talking about active betrayal, but it's felt by the person who had the expectation as a betrayal. And so what happens? Well, they put up a little bit of protection. I don't know that it's safe for me to be as open as I was, to be as open as I wanted to be. They put that protection up. Well, immediately that changes the energy flow, because relationship is all about energy flow. Yes, that's the direct communication. That's the eye contact. That's the physical aspect. That's the words. That's the body language. That's all of that. But at its core, it's an energy. It's an energy exchange. And if you put a protection up where you had a complete free flow before, the other person's going to feel it. And that becomes their betrayal. Oh, wait, you're blocking me? What? Okay, I need to protect myself a little bit. And so we start putting walls back up until we get to a level that hopefully is more open than it was before the relationship started. But that is safe. That is safe, where we feel protected within the interactions in this relationship. And now, that's the extreme. That's falling in love. That's the fairy tale. That's the expanded storybook version of things. But that's true for every relationship that we have, in a sense. In other words, as we are meeting someone, opening up into a relationship, what we're deciding is what degree it's safe for us to open to share with this other person, and what degree do I need to protect myself. And we're doing this largely unconsciously. It becomes conscious, especially when someone, again, does not meet an expectation that we had, and we get triggered, we get upset, we get angry, we get pissed off, we get, how could they do that to me? And we find ourselves putting up another level of protection. At its most extreme, that protection cuts other people out of our lives. The only way we feel safe is to just not interact with that person. But again, this is an ongoing thing. It's a negotiation, a balancing in every relationship that we have. And as we move forward in a relationship, which doesn't necessarily – I'm not talking about moving forward in terms of making the relationship deeper. I'm simply talking about moving through time so the relationship is one that is continuing or ongoing. As we move forward in a relationship, every relationship has that underneath it. And yet it's very easy because of that to almost become hypnotized by our relationships. And I don't mean the sense of getting lost in them. I mean in a sense of simply having the relationship be the way it's been, where we're not seeking to share more deeply in the relationship. And I am not suggesting, and never have, and I don't think I ever will, that the ideal is to share everything with everybody. For one thing, there's not time for that. There's not energy for that, etc. For another, that's not the point. The point is not we need to expose everything about ourselves to everyone that we know. That's not what it means to be exposing the master within. What I mean by that is being willing to share at the depth that is appropriate in every relationship, in every moment, without predetermining what that looks like. And these patterns, they are the place where things are predetermined. Where, oh, well, this is the level it's safe to share with this person. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. It's how we get by. But what I am saying is that this need to protect ourselves And again, some people would term it, as it gets connected, as that physical need to save the body just to stay alive rises up, if you will, in through the emotional body and the mental body, and gets to be something that some would call ego. As that need to protect ourselves infiltrates the emotional and mental bodies, it causes us to try to hold on to our image. And I think, if I remember correctly, I spoke a little bit about the masks that we wear a couple weeks ago. But that's this need for protection. And I'm going to kind of flip this now and start bringing in the energy of perfection and come back to one of the core principles that I very firmly believe is what's underlying human experience, which is that we came into body and we agreed to forget that we were divine, because that's what we've been down here experiencing. And so what we're seeking, what we've been seeking since birth, is to discover our value. And how we do that is through other people. That's how we tend to do it anyway. It's not ultimately how we will discover our value. It's not the path that's going to actually help us discover our true value and get to where we desire to be in our power. But it's the path that we learn as infants, that to get our needs met, we have to try to live up to what other people want us to live up to. And we're finding that balance. And this is where we begin that dance of how much energy can I give, in what form, in order to receive back the energy that I need. And if you are interested, this comes to mind. It got recommended to someone this week. Maybe that's why. But if you haven't read The Celestine Prophecy, or if you've read it and it's a long time ago, one of the segments, one of the, I forget what they're called, one of the lessons, the series of lessons in The Celestine Prophecy relates to this fight for energy that we're all in with everyone in our lives. And the more consciously we step into our power, the less we are looking to receive energy from others, the less their approval matters to us. But that involves shifting this energy, because that energy of needing other people's approval and needing to live up to what we think they want us to live up to, we can never actually know. Even when they tell us what they expect, it's not necessarily what they truly expect or desire from us. It's what they're consciously aware of, and most of us are operating from a lot of the unconscious. But that idea of what we're supposed to live up to others becomes what we define as perfect. That's the ideal way to be. Now, there are multiple ideal ways to be, from the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, to things that are very, very personal and individual that we learn, family of origin, parents, our youngest teachers and other caregivers, our grandparents. But that becomes our vision of what it is to be perfect, to be the best that we can be. And again, what we're doing that for is to get that approval, to get the energy, so we can essentially live with ourselves, so that we can believe that we are good people, etc. And sometimes those wires get, from a judgmental viewpoint perhaps, they get horribly crossed. In all of us, they're crossed. In some people, it goes to the extremes, and we have people who turn into mass murderers and that sort of thing. But ultimately, everyone is doing what they're doing to try and prove to themselves that they have value by demonstrating that in energy attention that they get from others. And it's not necessarily just positive approval. It's attention. And hence the people who go into extremely negative ways of expression, because that's, they learn that expressing negatively, they're going to get more attention, more energy than otherwise, which means they are more important. It's not direct approval, so to speak, but it happens. And that's in the psychological literature as well, where children who are treated that way and given a lot more attention will tend toward acting out more if they are getting that energy of the attention for their acting out, rather than energy of attention on their acting the right way, the socially acceptable way. So anyway, we have this blueprint of what it means to be perfect that is very individual to each one of us, that we learn unconsciously as children, that we as souls chose when we chose our parents and our circumstances for this lifetime. We chose this particular pattern, this particular blueprint that we were going to live up to. We chose that. So this isn't about blaming anyone in our lives for what they did to us, how they screwed us up. This is what we chose. And this path of stepping into our empowerment is about changing the rules of what we believe to be perfect, and in the process, letting go of the protection. Now, let's go back a second. As we're getting this approval, as we're seeking other people's attention, we are also seeking to figure out how to minimize the negative aspect of that attention to the greatest degree possible. In other words, the negative repercussions where we have to feel pain because of how the other person responds to us. And so we are attempting to find that balance. To be as perfect as we can be is a form of protection, because it's minimizing the negative energy we have coming at us from others while maximizing the positive and the overall amount of energy. Hopefully that's still making sense. And as we step into seeking to discover our power from within, seeking this process of self-approval, one of the ways that I believe is very, very powerful to work with this is to seek to fall in love with ourselves. Now, that may not make a lot of sense, and hopefully as I discuss it here, it will make more sense. But as I was talking earlier about when we fall in love with someone else, what is happening is we are going in this spiral together of maximum approval. Oh, well, this person really wants to be with me? Wow, I must be worthwhile. I really want to be with them too. And back and forth and back and forth and opening and opening and opening further and further. More of our protective walls get taken down until we get that point where that's as far as it's going to go, etc. We have a disappointment and we start putting walls back up. But if we can actively engage in a process of falling in love with ourselves, we can engage in a process, number one, of approving of ourselves more, and number two, taking those protections down. Now, that may seem a bit odd, because aren't the protections turned outward? Well, they are and they're not. Not all of them, because when we're seeking to prevent negative repercussion from others, what we're seeking to do is minimize them pointing out things that we judge about ourselves. Things where we're judging ourselves as not living up to that perfect ideal that we bought into. And again, the old spiritual cliche of everything and everyone outside of ourselves is a mirror for us to look at ourselves. And so every relationship and every interaction in every relationship is somehow reflecting back to us a piece of how we perceive ourselves. And so those protections against others are protections against ourselves. They're trying to prevent others from triggering us to look at ourselves and see the places that we judge, the things that we perceive as our failings. Consciously or unconsciously, doesn't matter. Many of them are unconscious, and that's part of the issue. We don't want them to become conscious, so we try to keep other people from having problems with us. I know for me, as a child, I was trying to be the perfect child, to not have anyone come after me in a negative way at all. At all. So I was going to be the perfect student. I was going to be the perfect, perfectly behaved child. In many ways, seen and not heard. Like the old Victorian ideal of things. And regardless of where you may fall on that spectrum, from being obsessed almost with what other people think of you to going to the opposite end of things and I don't care what anyone else thinks of me, those are the polarities, and neither one is a place of power because they're still very reactive. If we have enough people throwing negative energy at us, yes, we will quite possibly go to that place of active resistance. I don't care. They can go to hell, get out of my life, etc. But those are still reactive. Neither one is in its power. And it took me a long time and a lot of work to get to the place where I was willing to share anything or even become aware of it. In my first significant partnership, she beat me over the head all the time with, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? Trying to get me to open up and bring myself up and share myself. And a lot of the time I had no idea. I was this blank slate in the moment waiting for somebody else to write on me. And that was my protection. If I could be the chameleon and try to figure out what the other person needed me to be in that moment, that was how I was going to be safest. And otherwise, the rest of the time, I could blend into the background. No attention was better than bad attention. So anyway, coming back around, to get to our power, we need to approve of ourselves more. And to approve of ourselves more, we need to work actively at it because it's not what we were taught to do. And so if you would like to step further into your power, I've got a couple suggestions. And these have been given in countless sessions. They're not original to my mind. They may be in terms of coming through and channeling. But the first one is this, and this is literally that exercise to open to falling in love with ourselves. And it works best if you get in front of a mirror and you look yourself in the eye and you take a deep breath before and then you make this statement. I love and accept myself exactly as I am now. And then you take another deep breath. And you can repeat this as many times as you like. It is more powerful when you look yourself in the eye, because you're directly interacting with yourself then. It's more powerful if you speak it out loud, because you're bringing it into the physical dimension. But you don't have to look yourself in the eye and you don't have to say it out loud. You can do this when you're in an interaction with your boss and your boss is not very happy with you. You can be running this as a mantra inside your head. I love and accept myself exactly as I am now. Or in some other situation where someone is coming at you in a negative way. Now, take a breath. If that's hard to do or hard to say or hard to think, we can take a step back and use this phrase. Because this is a door opener. And you, for the door opener, you add this small phrase to the beginning of that one. I am willing to love and accept myself exactly as I am now. And again, it's giving yourself permission to approve of yourself, to love yourself, to accept yourself. And again, it is taking an active step to change the patterns of self-protection. Because quite frankly, I don't know about you, but most everyone I know was not truly taught, number one, to love him or herself, but number two, that it was even okay to love him or herself. One of the distortions to me that comes from that golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or love your neighbor as yourself, or a lot of those other teachings, is that they have a tendency to put others first. It's better to give than to receive. Can't be true. It's an exchange. It's equal. It's not better to give than to receive. But those programs, so many of them, in how we interpreted them, in how we interpreted them in relation to what other people were not only saying but doing, they became tools of our protection, and they became other people have to come first. It's not okay to take care of ourselves. Taking care of ourselves became being selfish, which became wrong. And we're here to upset that apple cart, as far as I'm concerned. We are here to come from the place of truth that in terms of being in body, we're the only being that we are with 24/7. And if we would change the world, we need to change ourselves. And to change the world, the thing we need more than anything else is to love ourselves, to accept ourselves. That is not going to cause us to go out and do stupid things, to go out and do bad things. Learning to love ourselves, learning to open into that, is learning that it's okay to be who we are, to express who we are, to expose who we are, to share who we are. And that is how we bring our truth, the truth of who we are, that we are divine. And as divine beings, we're already perfect. See, it's a great cosmic joke that we're down here in body trying to become perfect when we already are perfect. And the more we step into, I already am perfect, I already am divine, and let go of these false beliefs that we have about ourselves, that we're human, therefore we're flawed. We're human, therefore we are inherently evil, original sin, all that kind of stuff. As we step into knowing, not just mentally, but experientially, that we're divine, perfect beings, all these other things start to shed. And we love others more because we love ourselves more. And that's, again, where the equation is backwards. We think that the more we are loved, the more we can love. But it's the more we love ourselves, the more we can love. We cannot give more love. We cannot earn more love than we can allow. And we cannot allow ourselves to be loved by others more than we love ourselves. And so that's where it starts. So this is This is a postcard for falling in love with ourselves. And I'm sending it out to everybody. I'm sending it to myself. And if we would all spend more time doing that, and let me just offer out one other quick tool here, along with I love and accept myself exactly as I am now, or the version if you can't say that to yourself, is this: I'm willing to forgive myself. And what that does, it's not about saying you were actually wrong in the past. It's about saying that you perceived yourself as wrong in the past, as less than, as someone to be judged, for doing something to be judged. And what this does, I'm willing to forgive myself, is it works with shedding that old judgment. And it works very well. It works hand in hand with the previous tool of love and acceptance of self, because this helps to cleanse the pain, the judgment that is sitting there holding us in this vision of unworthiness, in this vision of imperfection of ourselves. And so as we do this one, I love and accept myself exactly as I am now, and then we do, I am willing to forgive myself for doing such and such, if you want, if there is a specific thing to forgive yourself for, although you don't have to. As we do those together, I'm willing to forgive myself, clears out some negative. I love and accept myself exactly as I am now, expands our light into that space that was being held in that negative, that judgment. And so that's also a thing that you can do. You can combine those two. Same thing, more powerful in the mirror, more powerful spoken out loud. So you're not only in your head with it, you're saying it and you're hearing yourself saying it. You're receiving it back from yourself. And with the breath, definitely with the breath, to amplify how much of the energy we are moving. So a couple of quick notes before I jump into the channeling. It's going to be a short channeling today. The next gateway event, and the email for that hopefully will be out today or tomorrow. The next gateway activation is for the full moon this coming Thursday, November 10th. And so I will be putting that information up. The gateway itself that we're opening is the gateway of receptivity. And so it is right in alignment with what we've been talking about here today, about opening up to be able to allow ourselves to receive, which is about opening up to love ourselves more, ultimately. And one thought on this coming Friday, 11-11-11. And I just tossed this out here because people have asked about it. And because there is there is a difference between something that is built into the natural world, like the equinox or the solstice or the full moon or the new moon. There's a difference between the energetic shifts that take place on those kinds of transitions versus something that is 11-11-11, because that's based on our calendar. Well, there's a lot of people on the planet who don't follow our calendar. a lot of the people in the Muslim world do not. They have a calendar based on Muhammad. A lot of people in the Orient do not. They have calendars based on other things. And there's a Jewish calendar that is much older than this one, etc. And so I don't say that because there's no power in this Friday. I say that because this event is an event of mass consciousness. It is an event that has power because we perceive a pattern in one of the ways that we are measuring the world in our calendar. And that doesn't mean there's no power. It just means it's a different kind of thing. It's something that we are creating together. And so whether you choose to join in some group event on that day or not, obviously, is entirely up to you, your circumstances, and what might be going on around you. But know that there are a lot of them taking place, some of them with crystal skulls, at Cahokia Mounds in Illinois, in L.A. there are lots of other ones out there. For those in my neighborhood, I'll actually be doing a drumming on that night. So if anybody wants to join me from Massachusetts or New Hampshire or the surrounding areas, I'd be happy to have you here. But whatever you're doing, the energies of this event, the energies that are being put out, are very much about new creation. They're very much about opening up into manifesting something new and empowering this new vision of reality that we are all bringing forward here. And so I just would offer that as a suggestion. Even if you're not going to do anything directly with others, tune into some of these other events in the same way that we tune into all the light workers on the planet before the show. Tune into all the light workers on the planet on that day. Tune into the specific events that you might be aware of that have some resonance for you. Open up to feeling that surge of energy move forward, because it will be there. It is growing toward that. And I would just offer this thought as well. 11, 11, 11, three master numbers adding up to 33, which is about new creation. And if you take the true numerology of the day, it includes the 2 for 2011, which takes that to an 8, which in my way of looking at numerology is about abundance. It is infinity turned on its side. That's what the 8 is. So open up to that. Give yourself that gift. Allow yourself to receive that gift. So not an accident that we opened the gateway of receptivity the day before to be able to receive the energies of that shift that powerfully. So anyway, all that being said, we are, well, essentially at the end here. Let me see something. Well, there is an actual open time slot after me right now, so I'm going to take advantage of that to actually do a channeling. They do want to come in and say something here. So, as with all the channelings, just allow yourselves to open up your breathing while I do some toning and bring in whoever's going to join us here today. So, hello, dear ones. This is the Apostle Andrew come to be with you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to be here. So what do you need to know at this time? At this time, you have a confluence of events, a confluence of energies that are about maximizing what you can manifest. But remember this. You can only manifest what you are open to receiving. And you are only open to receiving to the degree you love yourself. It's that simple. You can put forth all the energy in the world to receive anything. But if you don't love yourself enough to believe you deserve it, to believe that you can have it, to believe that you have earned it, then it will not be yours. So that is a missing ingredient in many people's vision of how to manifest, of how to create in the world. And here's another piece of that gets in the way. Because we're not talking about just having it in your life. We're talking about actually allowing yourself to enjoy it, to feel that you deserve it, to really receive it, not just to have ownership of it. There are many people who own lots of things that they don't have receivership of. And so, better to have little that you receive fully than a lot that you receive very little. Now, to aid this opening, and we say confluence of events. Yes, this gateway will be opened, enough said about that. And the 111 will be here. And then you in the U.S. at least will be celebrating Thanksgiving later this month. And you are in the harvest season, the season of receivership, the season of allowing yourself to receive. And so, we would help you open that door a little further today, or a lot further, for those of you who believe that you deserve to receive the opening a lot further today. Now, to do that, we are going to help you to shed. To shed like a snake. Except it's not just the outer skin. It is the layers of judgment within. The cells of self-condemnation. Ah, we love that phrase. The cells of self-condemnation. All the places within you, the places within you where you are holding on to a lesser version of you than your perfect divinity. And so, whew, breathe deeply into yourself. And imagine that God, Goddess, had reached out a hand and picked you up, and that you were a rattle, that God, Goddess was shaking. And you can feel that self-judgment rattling around in there. You can hear it. You can hear it like seeds inside a gourd. You can hear that self-condemnation rattling. Well, ironically, you're not a rattle. You're not. Actually, the sound that you're hearing is the dice inside the cup. And this is a game of craps. And so, God Goddess is going to roll the dice, the crap out of you. A number of times here now. And here we go. And take a deep breath. And on the exhalation, feel the roll and the throw. And we shake some more. And on the exhalation, feel the shake and the throw. And on the exhalation, feel the shake and the throw. Now allow yourself to come back to center. And now we've got some new dice in a different cup. God Goddess is still shaking the cup. But these dice are going to get rolled into you in place of what was rolled out of you. And this time we go to your games. We go to your games, and this time the roll, the throw that's going to come has a specific war cry with it. A specific war cry. And so here we go. And on the exhalation, feel the shake and the throw. And we say, Yahtzee! You are perfect. You are Yahtzee. All the dice in alignment. And so we shake again. And on the exhalation, we feel the throw. And it is again Yahtzee in you. Perfection. 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 And while you are in the perfection that you are, we bring in the divine spirit that some would call the Holy Spirit, some would call the Holy Ghost, some would call the Divine Mother. Doesn't matter what you call it. It is that energy of divine love, the energy of divine acceptance. And it is being poured into you now through your crown, down into each and every cell. And it is taking that new perfection, your personal Yahtzee, and anchoring it, and awakening it, and causing it to vibrate a little bit more, so that it continues expressing, so that it continues the transformation, so that it ripples out through the other cells of your body, cell by cell by cell, expanding your experience of perfection, opening, opening into being the perfect Yahtzee that you are. And so we go. And allow yourself to play games with yourself more frequently. You guys don't laugh nearly enough. You need to have more fun. So go play the games of your choice by choice. And let go of the games that people play that are about domination and empowerment and subjugation and victimhood and all of that crap. Because we rolled a bunch of that crap out of you. You don't need to play those games as much. Your power is found within. Your power is in your perfect divine essence, in your true nature. Give yourself that gift of remembrance. And remember that there's always room for more. So open up each day and say, I'm ready for more. I'm ready for more knowing of my divinity. I'm ready for more experiencing of my divinity. I'm ready for more exposing and expressing of my divinity. And so be it. And so it is. And so you are loved, dear ones. Namaste. Welcome back. All right. Well, you can start those chimes, Doug, if you would. And I would thank all of you for joining me to co-create this show today, co-create our time together. I can't do this without you. I am still seeking to figure out how to reclaim the old emails to do the drawing, but all the emails I do read, I do look at, and I do use to bring the show together. So let me know what you think. Slip me an email. Give me a call. Feedback, new guests, new topics. I will be bringing a guest in here soon in the future. I will be back, same time, same place next week. I hope you'll join me again, out there in the energy within, in the truth within. Remember, you never know where this show will go, and I never know where you're going to go. So I hope you go out there and share yourself, expose yourself, and maybe a little bit by bringing people to the show next week with you. Much love, my friends. Have a wonderful week. Namaste.